I can remember how little news used to be made on Capitol Hill during the dog days of summer. But that was back when lawmaking was more public service and less blood sport. Now, every moment of inattention can have grave and long-lasting consequences. That's why Interfaith Alliance is as busy as at any other time of the year, and why I'm happy to welcome Alliance Director of Policy and Advocacy, Katie Joseph, back to State of Belief Radio. Katie, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
Before they fled for vacation, lawmakers in Washington did manage to pass a couple of bills that made headlines. Which among those bills involve issues that are priorities for Interfaith Alliance?
So we've seen a lot of movement on Capitol Hill in the last few weeks. And in some ways, it feels a little bit strange to say that, because that has not been the case in recent months. But the two major packages that have taken up most of Congress's time have been, first and foremost, the infrastructure package, including some comprehensive and at times tense conversations about what infrastructure means across the country. And the second of which is the bipartisan push around the budget reconciliation bill. So first and foremost, within the infrastructure package, this is really focusing on the physical supports that make our country move forward. We're talking about bridges. We're talking about roads. We are talking about investments in a green economy, by making sure that there are more electric cars available to limit our carbon footprint. But as we're thinking about that for Interfaith Alliance, we are always watching out for questions around the separation of religion and government and around equity in how taxpayer dollars are being spent. Many of these programs, say around making sure that our buildings are using more green energy, they're set up as grant programs. So these are taxpayer dollars that are available to institutions to apply for. And anytime there's a grant program administered by the government, whether it's a federal, state, or local program, there are requirements for applicants to meet. So within this infrastructure bill, there are grants available to improve, for instance, high-speed internet access. But there's been some attention paid to requirements that recipients of those grants agree to participate in non-discrimination requirements. So it means, as they're administering taxpayer funds, that they're not discriminating against folks based on race, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affiliation, and other protected characteristics. And frankly, this makes sense. We don't want taxpayer dollars being used to then turn around and discriminate against taxpayers. Yeah. But there's a small number of religiously affiliated groups that have lifted up what has become something of a common trope in saying that if we're not allowed to discriminate, say, based on sexual orientation or gender identity, then that is somehow a violation of our religious freedom. And that's simply not what religious freedom means. But at Interfaith Alliance, we are staying vigilant and making sure that this manipulation of freedom of belief is not infused into these taxpayer-funded programs.
Are there achievements for the Alliance and its partners from the past few months that you'd like to highlight and celebrate?
So I'm going to give you a really nerdy answer to that question.
Okay.
And that's around budget reconciliation. Not particularly thrilling words to most people. But this is the first time in Congress we are seeing a sustained conversation about what infrastructure means, thinking beyond the physical supports, to think about human infrastructure, the care economy, education, childcare. And these are things that are essential in our communities. They're essential for ensuring that all people have the opportunity to thrive, that our kids are taken care of, that those who want to work are able to do so safely, that have not received attention in a meaningful way for the critical aspects of our success that they are. And so I see that as a huge accomplishment, that we are putting value in care work specifically that by and large has been done largely by women, often by women of color, that is not recognized for the incredible value it holds for our nation.
Katie, what's the work that advocacy groups like Interfaith Alliance can do during these next weeks while Congress is away? Because I know the city isn't shutting down the way it used to during these hot, humid days of August.
Hot and humid is right. So for many of us, while Congress may be a little quieter, things are picking up in the states. Kids are going back to school. And we are seeing a number of governors and state legislators attempting to politicize the movement back to in-person learning in ways that actually will expose children, teachers, staff, and families to an unsafe health situation simply to make a political point. And in some states, I'm spending a lot of time watching what's happening in Florida. We are even seeing Governor DeSantis there take this opportunity to push school vouchers, which he has been a champion of for a long time, that allow parents to take money away from public schools toward a private, often religious education for their child, under the guise of quote unquote COVID harassment in public schools. Mm-hmm. The notion that if you are uncomfortable with your child wearing a mask or remaining distant, that that is sufficient justification to reallocate public money away from these public institutions mm-hmm. and into religious ones. In our book, this is a church state issue because this is public money that's being used for religious education. But I would also go so far as to say that it is an opportunistic response to the COVID crisis in a place like Florida, where there are urgent, urgent needs that are not being addressed by the state government.
Katie, I know an important part of your work is organizing members to action around the key issues they count on Alliance to lead on. You've mentioned some already. What are others of these actions that you are focusing on?
So this is a moment, as throughout the pandemic, but particularly in this new wave that we are facing, for faith communities to lead by example. For faith leaders, for lay community leaders, to live out their faith by caring for one another. And that can mean distance worship as needed. That can mean hosting a vaccination site. That can mean getting the information, the accurate, the scientific information about the life-saving potential of vaccines, to those who are still hesitant. This work happens often on a one-to-one basis through hard conversations about making that decision to protect oneself, your family, and the community. So each of us have the opportunity to continue that work now, even though it may seem fraught, it may even seem political. For me, getting vaccinated was a matter of faith. Caring for myself, caring for those who are more vulnerable than I am by doing everything I can to make sure that I look out for them and their needs in this pandemic. Hmm.
I want to, while I've got you, I want to look ahead a little bit as well. As you look ahead to the fall, what are you focusing on from the White House and from Congress?
Well, when we come back in the fall, we are going to have an opportunity in Congress to address many of the issues, the top legislative priorities that, while important, have not been front of mind as these conversations about infrastructure and budget reconciliation have been going on. So for us, we have done a tremendous amount of work and will continue to mobilize faith communities and secular partners around the Equality Act, which would strengthen existing civil rights laws and close the gaps within federal protections to ensure all of us receive equal treatment in public space and create a national standard of civil rights protections for LGBTQ folks.
Mm. I also want to ask that same kind of question related to the courts, but I also know that we could spend the rest of the day talking about that. But tell me what's at the top of your list that we're going to be dealing with.
Well, there are two cases that we're paying very close attention to before the Supreme Court. And the parties to those cases are going through the process of filing their briefs now. So some of this will take a little while until we have more detailed information about what oral arguments might look like. But the first is a case out of Maine that involves this question of school vouchers, the use of public funds for private religious education. This will be the second time the Supreme Court is taking up a case on this particular question in the last few years. So not only is it getting a lot of attention in the states, but our highest court will also weigh in on this matter as well. And then the second case, of course, is around access to abortion. And that case, while at its heart, is not being contested around questions of religious freedom, we know that the ability to make personal health decisions consistent with our own beliefs and needs is very much informed for many of us by our faith convictions. And when one group or politician tries to advance a law or a policy that's rooted in their beliefs around questions of abortion, it prevents patients and even doctors from proceeding in a way that is consistent with their own beliefs. Mm. So this is going to be a really difficult and painful case for many of us, but we are grateful to be in strong company with many of our faith-based partners who are thinking through these questions and recognize the need to make space for all of us to be guided by our religious convictions in making these decisions.
So I'm going to hop back now and say we know that Congress is probably coming back a little bit earlier. What do you need to be ready for when Congress gets back in session? It requires vigilance and preparation for action. What are you getting ready for?
It's really easy in Washington to get bogged down by the politics and the scoring points on a day-to-day basis, who's leading the news cycle, who's subtweeting who. And in the work that Interfaith Alliance does, we are guided by our values. And all of the policy decisions that we make, the organizing work that we do, is guided by our mission. And so when we come back in the fall, we're prepared certainly for the standard amount of DC political drama. But remembering why we do this work and the communities that we're fighting for, to make sure that all of us have the freedom to believe as we choose without fear of discrimination or harm, drives us and helps us measure just how much good we're able to accomplish.
The easiest question that I'm going to ask you is right now, would you please remind our listeners how they can follow and support the work of Interfaith Alliance, if you would?
I would invite everyone to please visit our website, www.interfaithalliance.org, to see the issues that we're working on now, the news stories that are breaking that we are directly involved in responding to, and opportunities to take action to advance true religious freedom for all.
Catherine Joseph is Director of Policy and Advocacy at Interfaith Alliance, defending true religious freedom for all. Katie, it's always great to talk with you. I appreciate what you're doing, proud of the work that you're doing. You're always welcome on State of Belief Radio, and today is another one of those times.
Thank you so much, Walton.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift as we celebrate 15 years of continuous broadcasting. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, and take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person. Do that this week. One person for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. You know, I say those last words every week. They are not perfunctory words. You need to be a part of what's happening with Interfaith Alliance. Our nation needs Interfaith Alliance, and Interfaith Alliance needs you. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see, he was.